Right, last week we started a new topic, so if you've missed last week's, can I say you really do need to go online and listen to it because it was powerful, powerful revelation from the Word of God. We'll do a little brief recap on it this week, but I can't go into all the details, obviously, of last week's talk. So this is our second week on Does God Send the Bad Stuff? Big question. Big question out there. Is it God that sends the bad stuff? So last week we said we looked at the word sovereign. And some Bibles translate certain words as sovereign and some don't. And so it's actually only three different translations of the Bible. There was three that translated this word as sovereign and 13 that did not. So the majority of Bibles don't. So we said that our definition of the word sovereign makes a difference to our definition of God. And you really need to listen to that preach to get all of it. But there's two definitions. This is the first one, and this is the one that I disagree with. And I proved that, I hope, last week in the 30 minutes that I was rabbiting on, okay? So this is the definition of sovereign that some people carry in their hearts, that God rules all that happens, and only God's will comes to pass. And last week, I hope I proved that that was not true. The second definition of sovereign, the one that the 13 versions of the Bible go with, is the one that I agree with, and it's this. God is the supreme or highest power. He's superior to all others. He is chief. And I agree with that, if you think that's what sovereign means. This week, we're going to look further at the fact that God's will does not automatically come to pass. We're starting in Philippians 2 and verse 10, where it says this. At the name of Jesus, every knee should and must bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So this is saying in the scripture, he is the highest power. He is the top dog. He is superior to all others. He's the big chief. All right? Jesus is Lord, the supreme power. All other powers will one day bow the knee to him. So that makes him sovereign. That is a proper definition of that word. And yet God's will doesn't automatically come to pass. He gave us free will, so we get to choose whether we do it God's way or we do it our own way. I remember going to a funeral years and years ago, and Frank Sinatra was belting out, it wasn't his funeral, by the way, I'm not that famous, but it was somebody else's funeral, and Frank Sinatra was belting out, I did it my way. I thought to myself, well, I hope you also did it God's way. Because if you did it your own way, you're not going to God's house, all right, in the hereafter. So God has given us free will to choose whether we do our way or his way. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19 says this. Today, I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make, so that you would choose life, so that you and your descendants might live. This says the choice that you make, not the choice that God makes, but the choice that you make. We get to make our own choices because that is how God made us. Our choices can affect everything that happens for life or death, and God wants us to make the right choices. Verse 19 says, oh, that you would choose life. He's pleading with them, oh, please, 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 pretty please, choose life. Please make the right choice. He can't make it for us because we were not created as puppets. We were created as independent individuals with our own free will. We've all got choices to make, and our choices can help or hinder God. Last week, we looked at Eve and the choice that Eve and Adam made in the garden to eat of the fruit of good and evil, and it affected all of creation. Evil entered in, death entered in, and it changed the course of history forever. Eve chose to believe the lies of the enemy instead of trusting God. I don't think we're so very different. I've believed his lies before. Anybody else? How about you? Anybody else believed you're useless, rubbish, no good, rejected, not wanted? Just me then, eh? A few nodding heads there. I've believed his lies. I think all of us have. Then years later, hundreds of years later, God spoke to another woman to see if she would choose his will. And this is what she said in Luke chapter 1 and verse 38, complete opposite of Eve. She said, let it be to me according to your will. It was Mary speaking. And she said, yes. And an event came to pass that also changed the course of history. And it was the birth of Jesus Christ who brought salvation to the world and is still bringing salvation to the world. But Mary had to allow God to move. She had to choose to do his will. God didn't force anything on her, and he won't force anything on us. If we remember the scripture that I just read before in Deuteronomy 30, it said, you choose. Oh, that you would choose life. You've got a choice to make. You know, we all know the story about Abraham and how he had his son Isaac. But Abraham, first of all, chose to have a son by Hagar, the servant girl. And Ishmael was born first. And if he'd chosen to wait on God and wait on God's promise, then Sarah would have given birth to Isaac first. But Isaac came along second. And if Abraham had only waited and made the right choice and waited on God, the whole Arab-Jewish conflict might not even exist today. Because if Isaac had been born first, he wouldn't have had a need to go to Hagar and give birth to Ishmael. So choices of other people can have far-reaching effects on our lives as well. Our bad stuff can be the result of our choices, or it can be the result of other people's choices. But it is never the result of a loving God sending bad things onto his children. You know, we have got, has to be, one of the cutest babies going on the front row here. Absolutely adorable, and you've no idea how off-putting it is to be preaching and have something as cute as that there, and everybody's looking at him and nobody's looking at me. Okay, and I'm going, hello, I'm here, I'm prepared, and this wee cutie pie is on the front row. Would his daddy send anything bad on that little boy's life? Absolutely not. And yet we believe it of God. How can we do that? How can we believe that of God? God is looking down on every single one of you, no matter how hairy you are, no matter, you know, how many wrinkles there are, and going, you're an absolute wee cutie, and I love you to bits, and I sent my son to die for you. Okay, God loves us. He absolutely adores us. He did not send the bad stuff. I want us to note this, that God works in us, and he works through us. He cannot work independent of us. He doesn't come and make a bit with a big stick and rule over us. God has a good plan for us, but we have to agree with it. It doesn't automatically come to pass. You know, I'm going back years now, and I'm just going to tell a little story on Neil's behalf. Just popped into my head, so I'm sure he'll forgive me later. This is before we were married. And God said to Neil before we were married, I want you to go up, and in Australia they call it out, whoop whoop, you know, up it. Into the middle of nowhere, and that's where I want you to serve in a church up there. So God, Neil decided he'd go to the Gold Coast. The complete opposite direction. He wasn't going to go out, whoop, whoop, to a place where God didn't want him to go, a little town called Yeppoon. And he went down the Gold Coast. So when I finally went out to see Neil, and it's a long story, and I will really cut it short, just saying eventually we got married. That's the short version. Eventually we got married. Neil had been living down the Gold Coast, and once we were married, God moved us up, guess where? To Yeppoon. Out, whoop, whoop. It was a one shoe shop town, ladies. How are you supposed to survive in a one shoe shop town, I ask you? Not even a matching handbag in sight. So we went and we actually lived there in the place where God told him to go. So God did work it out okay, right? But by then we had two people praying and deciding what was the will of God. So God can turn anything around, even if we've made wrong choices. God can turn it around and make it good for us. But he needs to work through us. His will does not automatically come to pass. We have to listen to God's word and choose to follow him. So here's my first revelation today, and it's this. Our choices can limit God. And God's perfect will from coming to pass. Won't come to pass if we make the wrong choices. Psalm 78 and verse 40 says this. Now this is talking about the children of Israel. How often they provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. Yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. I'll stop there while you put your socks back on because I've flown off your feet. Okay? They did not remember his power the day when he redeemed them from the enemy. Remember, they'd seen the Red Sea part. They'd seen the Red Sea but walled up like this height of the ceiling on either side with fish and everything swimming about. And they walked through on dry land to the other side in safety, and all of their enemy got drowned behind them, and they forgot it. They forgot what God had done. And this scripture says they limited the Holy One of Israel. Can we get that into our heads? The choices of man limit God. It's not God sending the bad stuff. These people limited God because they didn't remember his power. Hello, are we any different? Are we any different on some days when we get up? When trouble comes, do we remember God's power? Do we remember that God is for us and it's the enemy that's against us, not God? God didn't send the problem. He gave us the power to overcome the problem. Every single one of us. Never believe that God sent the bad stuff just to make us suffer a bit more. He could never do that to his children. And hopefully knowing that we can limit God should motivate us to choose God and choose his will. I don't want to limit any blessing God's got for me by making the wrong choices. And if I do make the wrong choice, I can turn it around and say, God, I'm sorry I made that wrong choice. Please sort this mess out for me. In Jesus' name, amen. That's a good prayer. Okay? Jesus gave his life for us to receive all the blessings of God. So we need to determine if Jesus paid for it, we are having it. All of it. All of the freedom, all of the healing, all of the love and joy and peace that is available. You know, God didn't pay the highest price for us to be set free and then send more pain. You know, suffer a bit more, Sandra. It's not from God. So if he didn't send it, don't accept it, because it's not God's will. But somewhere along the line, God can get the blame. And folks, that's wrong. If we're blaming God for something, we've then fallen into a very subtle trap set by the enemy, and it is a lie to tell us that God sent it, or last week we talked about God allowing it. He did not allow it. The enemy is the one that brought it. We need to remember that God is good, and his plans are good. He loves us. We need to remember his power, and that he's redeemed us from the curse. So there's a curse coming on our lives. It's not from God. Jesus shed his blood to redeem us from the curse. Cursed is everything that hung on a tree, the Bible says. Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse. You know? Remember all that he's done for us in the past, then believe he will do it again. If he rescued us in the past, he will do it again. If he answered a prayer last week, he'll answer one this week. He'll do it again. I was talking to some people just on Friday night, and it was a financial situation that they were in. This took like 6 years to resolve. And you're thinking, where is God in all of this? And they stood to lose their house and everything. Where is God in all of this? And you know, when the situation was finally resolved, tax laws had changed. And if it had been resolved even 2 or 3 weeks sooner, they wouldn't have got the tax relief and all their debt wouldn't have been paid. But it was resolved at the exact right time. They got the highest price for a house that was being sold. And they got the tax relief bargain that was not in place a few years earlier. And it's only in hindsight they could see all the blessings that God was storing up for them. But walking through 6 years of that debt hanging over your head and thinking you might lose your house any day was not easy. It was not easy. But God's only got good things for us. We need to remember the prayers that he's answered. Remember all he's done in the past and believe he'll do it again. Here's my second revelation. We can either limit the enemy or we can limit God. The choice is ours. Because the enemy is the one we need to limit. We need to limit his lies that are going through our head. We've got a mission statement in our church, and it's this. Are we part of the solution, or are we part of the problem? You know, God's will doesn't automatically come to pass. We need to choose it. That's been part of the solution. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9 says this. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's not God's will that people perish. It's not God's will that would happen to any of us. But do you know what the truth is? People are perishing. People are going to hell, and they're going there sooner rather than later because they're not choosing God. They're perishing because God's will does not automatically come to pass. They're saying no to God when it's God's will that they say yes. And I used this example last week, but it's such a good example, I'm going to use it again. And if Jesus walked down Dunfermline High Street today, would everyone choose him? No. He could walk down the high street today and everyone would not choose him. Do you know, Jesus stood at the tomb of Lazarus And everyone in the town knew Lazarus. He's a well-known man. Everyone knew he was dead. Everyone knew he'd been dead. And this was the fourth day. And everyone knew the stone was rolled over. Everyone knew that. And Jesus got the stone rolled away. And the dead man walked. The dead man walked out of the tomb. Did everyone believe it? No. They stood and witnessed the resurrection of the dead right there in front of their eyes. And if you read on in the story, the very next bit, some of them murmured against Jesus and went off to tell tales on him because they didn't believe it and they witnessed it. Folks, if Jesus walked down the high street tomorrow, still people would not believe him because people have choices to make. And a lot of the time we don't make good choices. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave. What did he give? Everything. Who did he give it for? Everyone. He died for the people that don't choose him. He loves them as much as the people that chose him. God gave his only son for us because he wants us to choose his son. He wants us to choose his will in every area of our lives. So I'm hoping today that I've now convinced you that you have a free will. The question is, what are you doing with it? What are we doing with our free will? What choices are we making? Are our choices limiting the enemy and his lies in our lives, or are our choices limiting God? James 4, verse 7 says this, resist the devil and he will flee from you. But if we don't resist, he's not going to flee. If we just sit down and go, oh yeah, you're right, all these negative thoughts, I am useless, I am worthless, nobody loves me, where's the worms? I'm going to make a worm sandwich. You know, if we just sit down, I've used this illustration before. If we went home and we've got this beautiful cream leather couch and our house is pristine, just like my house, there's no dirt in it. You know, it doesn't need a duster and it's pristine. And this person's sitting on our couch with big muddy boots and they've walked all over your carpet and their muddy boots are on your couch and they've got your favourite mug in one hand and the remote control in the other and they're just drinking out your favourite mug. I mean, that's a sin in itself, eh? And then they're watching the telly. What would you do? Would you just let them sit there? Would you let them sit there? Or would you say, out! Get out of my house in Jesus' name, get them by the scruff of the neck, toss them out the door in a wee size 6 boot at the rear end, you know? Get them out! That's what we need to do with the negative thoughts. We have choices to make. We either choose what God is saying and we limit the enemy, or we choose what the enemy is saying and therefore we limit God. The choice is ours. I've just got two more examples. This one's from the Old Testament. And it's Numbers 13 and then start at verse 30. And it's the children of Israel when Moses sent 12 spies out into the promised land. So they're right in front of the promised land, they're right in front of them. And Moses sends these 12 men in to say, go in and tell us what it's like, guys. Come back and tell us, lads, what you can see. And so they do that. But unfortunately, 10 of them come back feeling very fearful and only 2 of them come back positive. So this is what it says. Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it. We are able to conquer it. But his fellow scouts said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. So they brought the Israelites an evil report of the land. And verse 33, we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And then 14, verse 10, but all the congregation said to stone Joshua and Caleb. Wasn't their best hair day. So Joshua and Caleb were the only 2 spies that came back and said, come on, guys, we can do this. And the other 10 said, no, I don't think we can. 10 spies didn't like the look of it, and they brought a negative report. And this scripture calls it an evil report. That's strong words. Why was it an evil report? Because it limited God. They limited the Holy One of Israel. His hands were tied. They tied God's hands behind his back. Can we even comprehend that? Only 2 spies preferred it. Those are not good odds. It doesn't even sell cat food. You know, it was 8 out of 10 cat owners said their cats preferred it. And they went out and bought kitty cat. And 2 of them didn't prefer it. So if it had been 2 out of 10 cat owners say, this is great cat food, would you rush out and buy it? I certainly wouldn't. You'd be thinking, that cat food's rubbish. You know, I wouldn't be buying it. Only 2 men believed that God was bigger than the problem they faced. So here's my question. Do we believe our God is bigger than the problems that we're facing? Do we really believe it, or are we believing an evil report? We need to limit the evil report and not limit God, not tie his hands behind our back. Some of you may know this and some of you may not. Most of us know that the wilderness journey for the children of Israel took 40 years. Okay, not 5 minutes, 40 years. But do you know this? And you can check it. You can go home and look up Deuteronomy 1 verse 2, that the wilderness journey actually was meant to take 11 days. If you just walked right through, it was 11 days. But they went round in circles. They went round in circles for 40 years. You think God sent that bad stuff? No. So hold on to your boots because I'm about to give you another one that will make them fly off your feet. Why did it take 40 years to do an 11-day journey? Because they grumbled and they complained and they didn't choose the will of God. They looked at the giants in the land. In other words, they looked at the size of their problem and they chose their fears over the size of their God. They limited God by their actions and their words. Now, here's another revelation. God can and will conquer our giants, but he can only do it through us believing him, through us confessing the word. He moves through our choices. So God's will did not come to pass in this situation. And God had to wait for a whole, bearing in mind, I can't go into and give you scriptures for this right now, but roughly experts believe there was 3 million people. Moses was the leader of 3 million people. Two of them thought it was a good idea. Two, Joshua and Caleb. They're the only two that thought this was a good idea to go in and take possession of the land. Moses was waiting on, you know, them bringing the feedback from it. So only two of them thought it was a good idea. And so God's will did not automatically come to pass. He had to wait 40 years for an unbelieving generation to die. He didn't send bolts of lightning and zap them and kill them. He just waited for every single one of them to naturally die of old age. And once they had died of old age, God said, now we can take the land. Because the unbelief is dead. I'm no longer limited. My hands are no longer tied. A generation had to die in the wilderness. It was a 40 years for a generation to die. God's hands were tied. They limited the Holy One of Israel. That's just incredible. The all-powerful, sovereign God was limited by the free will of man. That's why God had to wait 40 years for a new generation to come up that were willing to say yes to God. Let it be to me according to your will. Let it be done according to your will. Here's my last example from the New Testament. And this was the story of a father whose son was really, really ill. He had a demon-possessed boy, it says the Bible. So he had something really, really cruel on the inside of him, and it used to throw him into the fire. And this boy used to get burned in the fire. And his dad came to Jesus and his disciples, and he asked for help. And it's in Mark 9 and verse 18. And he says this, I asked your disciples to drive it out, and they were not able to do it. And Jesus answered them, O unbelieving generation without faith, how long shall I have to do with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me. You can hear the frustration in Jesus' voice. Unbelieving generation without faith. This was his disciples he was talking to. This was his best supporters, you know. He didn't say, sorry, lads, not God's will. God sent the bad stuff. Just let it be. He rebuked them. He wasn't pleased with them. And then he set the boy free. Why? Because it's God's will to heal and because God doesn't send the bad stuff. We have choices to make. Yeah, this is sort of a wee last story. Years and years ago, my oldest daughter was only 5. She just started primary 1. And through his work, Neil got a chance to go to Bermuda. Well, you're not going to look that one in the eye, are you? So he got a chance to go to Bermuda. So we all got on the plane and we all flew to Bermuda. So while Neil's in the office all day working hard, my daughter and I could work hard at the beach, you know, building sandcastles and all that. So we'd walk down to the beach every day, then we'd walk back up to the unit we were staying in. We passed the same house every single day and had a massive Alsatian dog in the garden. Now, the dog was on a long lead, like, you know, meters and meters of lead, and it was tied to a stake in the garden. So the dog could run around. It was clearly a guard dog, and it could get free will. So that was fine. It would bark a wee bit, but we knew it was tied up, so we'd walk up and down the road. But one day, we're coming back from the beach, And the dog wasn't in the garden. And all of a sudden, the dog was circling us, just going round and round in circles. And then, you know the size of these dogs, it could jump on my, like its front paws, you know, they can put their front paws on your shoulder. Well, my little girl's head was only at waist height, and this dog jumped on her head. And then his claws slid all the way down her face to the ground, and she was petrified, and I was not much better myself. So I picked her up, and had her in my arms, and her legs were wrapped around me, but her little feet were still dangling at the dog's mouth, you know. And I don't know if they understood Scots or not, but they got a mouthful of Scots language. I was screaming at the top of my voice to this house, come and get your dog, come and get your dog. I was just screaming it out, and eventually a man appeared, and he came out to get this dog, and it was clear from the minute he arrived he had no control over the dog, because the dog is still circling us. Then eventually he managed to coax it away, and it was in somebody else's garden. So the minute its attention was gone, me and my little girl legged it up the hill, and we never walked that way again. But you see, I had a choice to make. Was I going to limit God, or was I going to limit the attack of the enemy? I was not going to stand there and let this dog attack me or my little girl. It had already scratched its claws down her face. You know, it was not a good experience. And so I had decided I was going to limit this dog. And it started with me screaming for this man to come and get it. But that's not all that was going through my head. I was working out where I could kick it. Would I kick it right in the guts? Would I kick it in the face? Where was I going to kick this dog to send it flying? Because there's no way it was attacking my child. Folks, we've got choices to make. You know, we are the ones who limit God. His will does not automatically come to pass. Sometimes we've got to fight for us and our family, our health, our strength, and our future. God is sovereign. He is the highest power, superior to all others. He is chief, but his will doesn't automatically come to pass. We have to choose it. Thank you. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up now and lead us in a final song of worship.